Violet is ready for a major change in her life. She desperately wants to lose weight, and supposedly fitness trainer Grant has just the right touch. But even though fitness was the goal, the two find themselves on a surprising journey of intense attraction. I'm Heather Songster, and this is Hopelessly Romantic. Welcome back, readers and romance seekers, to another episode. We return today to the works of Rebecca Weatherspoon with her BDSM romp, Fit. It's a very simple title, and it's the first in her Fit trilogy. The book is followed by Tamed and Sated, and they all surround the employees of Melrose Fitness. This was certainly an interesting addition to the bookshelf. Before we really get into it, I do want to get something out of the way. If you're anything like me, who has spent years being frustrated at her size and inability to get any kind of fitness or health regime to stick, let alone get results, this might create an unexpected gut punch. I was expecting a fun and silly erotic romance novel, not an emotionally laden hammer to the face. When Fit arrived in my latest shipment of naughty books, it stood out from the rest almost immediately. For starters, it was smaller than I had expected, as in the length. It's probably the shortest that I've read so far. I've tried to avoid the really short ones, but that's one of the pitfalls of online shopping. I get access to more variety, but that also means that I can't make those quick judgments when I'm selecting for the show. The other thing that I noticed was the printing on the cover. Everything seems to be just off by a smidge. The front, the spine, the back, they're all slightly misaligned with the center. It got me wondering if this was just an off print, or if this novel is printed as an on-needed basis. I'm willing to guess that it's the former, mostly because I purchased this from a large chain bookstore. But the quality of the print is still solid for my standards. The cover is robust, the pages are printed with a heavyweight paper, and the ink is clear and uniform. Small-scale publishing aside, the physical quality of the novel is, in my opinion, still leagues better than the large-scale operation at Harlequin. But we aren't here because I enjoy how thick the pages are, so let's get properly started. Our cover is rather simple. Text dominates most of it, with Fit in huge letters on the second bottom half of the illustration. The top half is devoted to the author's name and a note telling us which number in which series it is. This is all overlaid onto a man's bare chest, with sharply defined abs and pecs. He seems to be wearing a workout jacket of some kind, and we can only see the bottom half of a clean-shaven face. It's a basic cover, but I'm not sure if it fully sets us up for what we are getting into. If you remember from episode 21, we've already read a novel from this author, Haven, and that featured narration in the first person. I was a little worried that we would meet with the same here, but thankfully that's not the case. As is typical for erotic romance novels, we get perspective in third person limited. We meet with Violet Ryan. She's a producer for a network focused on cooking and food reality TV shows. She's been gaining some weight thanks to a barbecue competition show, so she was determined to start and establish new healthy habits before her next show started in 23 days. I'm kind of hoping that she really doesn't expect meaningful or visual results in that amount of time, because that will kill any drive she has to keep these habits up. Believe me, I speak from experience. Her friend Faye has convinced her to sign up for a class called Pump Fit, but it was not going well. The class is going hardcore, and Violet is struggling to keep up. This is what I would consider as mistake number two, going too hard too early. The way the class is described make it sound like a sort of boot camp, with a variety of different exercises that need to be completed in a certain amount of time. The only way that the next activity moves on is when everyone finishes the current exercise. Cue poor Violet being the last to finish on everything, and she even breaks down into tears at one point. At the end of it, she's exhausted, frustrated with herself and with Faye for suggesting it. As she's leaving the gym, the class instructor Margaret takes her aside and tells her point blank that the class is not a good fit for Violet. Initially, Violet's kind of pissed, but Margaret explains. She could tell that Violet didn't like the structure of the class or the yelling that Margaret uses to motivate everyone. She tells her about a personal trainer that she knows, a man named Grant, who has a softer touch, but he gets results. Violet agrees to let Margaret pass her information along to Grant, and she heads home. This was the big spot for me, this whole section, because I have been in Violet's exact shoes. I still am in some ways. I try to get new and healthy habits to stick, and I'd like to lose a few inches off my waistline. I could go in deep on how much our culture relies on telling us how fat we all are, how much we need to spend money on expensive gyms and diet food, telling us we're not worth anything unless we're a size 2 or under. It's hard living in this world, and harder still if you're not skinny. This whole front section of the book had me in a very strange place, somewhere between trying to ignore the fat-shaming demons in my head and seriously concerned that Violet was going to hurt herself, either mentally or physically, if not both. It's safe to say that I was not a fan of the sensation. So we move on to meet Grant Gibson. Margaret had caught up to him and told him about Violet. She'd passed on her information as promised, and Grant gets to work. Apparently, he likes to run a quick Google search on his prospective clients before he gives them a first-time consultation. So what are his first impressions? He clicked through to her Facebook page, and suddenly things slid into place. Violet Ryan, associate producer with the Food Channel, was pretty plump. It wasn't a judgment, just a fact. Same as the fact that she was a stunningly gorgeous Asian woman. She smiled in her tiny profile picture, full pink lips below an adorable button nose that was spattered with freckles. She had big brown eyes behind red-rimmed glasses. Her long, thick hair was doing that black-to-blonde thing a lot of women were styling these days. She managed to be hot and cute and sexy all at the same time. On the one hand, it's a nice thought that a hot physical trainer would fall head over heels looking at a larger woman in just an instant. On the other hand, if I have to see plump as a way to describe a plus-size heroine again, I am canceling the entire English language. And I start to hear some alarm bells ringing as we get a little deeper on Grant's first impressions. He for sure wants to take on Violet as a client, but he's also feeling a few things stir as he looks at her online presence. We learn that Grant is a BDSM dominant. He's been out of the scene for a bit, but he's ready to get back in. And it looks like he enjoys mixing business with pleasure, i.e. he is happy to sleep with his clients if they were so inclined. Now, people might call me a prude for this, but this is questionable. I learned a long time ago that work stays at work, and if you sleep with people you work with or for, no matter how casual the attraction, it is a high chance of imploding on a devastating scale. It's just not a good idea. You know that phrase, don't poop where you eat? Same concept. And apparently Grant knows this. When he explains to his business partner Armando about taking on a new client and possible fuck buddy, Armando reminds him that his last client turned fuck buddy stole his money and tried to steal his dog. You'd think a guy would learn his lesson. Grant gets a hold of Violet and they agree to meet the next day at a juice bar. Violet gets there first, and then she finally claps eyes on her soon-to-be trainer. Violet stood, shook his hand, and did her best not to drool. Grant Gibson wasn't just a trainer. He was some sort of Scandinavian athletic god, tall and perfectly toned, blue-eyed with blonde hair that was longer than most guys were wearing these days, but thick and styled perfectly back away from his face, cut cleanly along the base of his neck. His beard was thick but manicured, gold with patches of red and brown. And his lips. I know we didn't see much of the cover model's face on the cover, but I can be damn sure we didn't even see a suggestion of a thick golden beard on that man's chin. Do publishers even read the books they commissioned covers for? Ugh. It's plain to see that Violet likes what she sees, for sure. When Grant asks her to tell him about herself, she mentions her hope for weight loss. That wasn't what Grant was looking for, since he's following a philosophy that one's mental health is related to one's physical health. There's some double entendres at play here, and both of them take it in stride, but Grant is all business at the beginning. He tells her about his methods and his use of positive reinforcement. And then he does the stupid thing. See, I thought that we wouldn't touch on the BDSM stuff until they were established as trainer and client, that they might get hints of their attraction to each other, or Grant gets an idea to build on the positive reinforcement he's told her about. They could ease into it, because that would make sense. But Grant apparently gets a vibe that he thinks Violet is putting down, and he straight up asks her if she knows anything about domination and submission. Her reaction is understandable, telling him that he sounds quite unprofessional and nearly ready to walk away. To his credit, Grant knows that he's fucked up, and that's the word he uses, and he apologizes. He tells her that he was trying to figure out what kind of positive reinforcement would work for Violet. I like positive reinforcement as much as the next gal, but breaking out the BDSM in the first conversation with a stranger is like calling for a nuclear bomb when maybe a taser should have been the first option. Knowing the conversation was probably a wash, he hands Violet his card, and he doesn't expect to hear from her again. Which is why it's a surprise that when he's sitting at home watching sports ball on the TV that night, his phone rings. Apparently, she has called him after all. Violet asks him point blank, first, is he a chubby chaser? He tells her no. Then she asks if he has, and I'm quoting from the book again, yellow fever. These are honest concerns, and if I were in Violet's shoes, I wouldn't want to be reduced to a fetish based on factors more or less out of my control. He tells her no again and speaks honestly, that he thought that she was an attractive woman and that he lost the plot for a hot second. She gets him to tell her that he's done this with a couple of other women and explains how his last relationship imploded. Amazingly, after everything, it's not a deal breaker for her. She's willing to hire him as her trainer, and so long as he's not seeing or sleeping with anyone else, she's not opposed to opening things sexually. She's even down for exploring some BDSM with him. They agree to start at 6 a.m. the next day. At this point, I really have to say, this is one of the more porn-esque stories that we've gotten into so far. It's not as bad as a supermodel asking if there was another way to pay for her pizza, but it's pretty close. Is this a bad thing? Not necessarily. We just have to keep certain things in mind as we go forward and remember that the rules are apparently different in this universe. Like a possible personal trainer asking you in the first conversation if they can whip you isn't immediate grounds for a restraining order. Bright and early that next morning finds Violet waiting outside Melrose Fitness, caught in her own conflicting thoughts. She should have slapped him. She definitely should not have called him. But she did, and now here she was, completely unprepared to live up to her ballsy parting words. Did she want Grant to spank her after she completed her workouts? Of course she did. The thought of him putting his hands on her body like that, slapping her bare ass until it was pink and swollen, had her soaking wet. She shuffled in her new Nikes just thinking about it. Did that make getting involved with him this way a good idea? Sure didn't, but it was too late now. I could spend the entirety of this podcast screaming about exactly how much of a bad idea this is, but we can already assume that this is going to implode somehow, so I will refrain. But the problem for me is that I know that this will implode. I can see the third act separation screaming at me down the track, and much like a damsel tied to the rail, there won't be much that I can do to avoid it. This really does hamper my enjoyment of the story for sure. Grant arrives, and he has his dog Max with him. He opens up the gym and leads Violet inside to sit with him in his office to get a few housekeeping chores in order. She fills out a questionnaire that gives Grant an idea of where to start, sets up a payment plan, and her new fitness regime begins. They start with a weigh-in, and they never tell us what the actual number is. We only know that it upsets Violet. The narration tells us that Violet tries to see it as only a number, and I'd like to agree with her on that point. I'm not really a doctor or a fitness trainer, but I know that humans are all very different, and the scale is simply one indication of that variety. Grant tells her that it's time to get started with their actual workout, and it's the part Violet's been dreading. The dread escalates when she sees that he's going to take them outside with her dog, thinking that he was going to make her jog with them. As they get started, he asks her about her job. She gets talking, and before she knows it, they've walked 3 miles. She's surprised, and when they get back inside, Grant gives her homework, to write down everything she eats, no matter what. Just as she thinks that Grant has changed his mind about adding some spice to their workouts, he leads her to the back of the office and tells her to lock the door behind them. He has her sit on his desk and orders her to spread her legs apart. With an apparently magic hand, he's able to get an orgasm out of Violet through her clothing, calling it a reward for showing up on day one. This is one of those things where I'm not sure I get it. I can't imagine that constant friction with clothing is terribly comfortable, and I would be concerned about chafing, but what do I know? Violet agrees with him to meet back up on Thursday, and she is off to her car. We catch up with her at the grocery store with her friend Faye. It's been established that Faye is in better shape than Violet, at least from her perspective, and feels more comfortable spoiling herself. She tries to push Violet into joining her at a place called Yogurt Town, which sounds like a typical frozen yogurt joint. Violet pushes back, but Faye appears to be that friend, who insists on pushing their friends to indulge when said friends are trying to cut back on indulgences. It's not a bad thing, but it's something to note when we consider Violet's dynamic with Faye. Thursday rolls around, and we find Grant waiting for her at the gym. He's running through his head how Violet makes him feel, and exposition tells us that she's already had an effect on his overall mood, if his friend Armando is to be believed. I can see what our author is doing here, giving us a romantic connection in a very short amount of time. Grant and Violet have spent, what, less than 2 hours in each other's presence, and we've already got one of them thinking how much he enjoys spending time with her. I'd say we'd need to tread carefully here. Is there a genuine connection between Grant and Violet, or is Grant just enjoying that change of pace when something changes and someone new has entered into his daily life? I'm also suspicious when he thinks how surprised he was at Violet's pure submission. I don't know if there was a lot of actual domination and submission happening between them right now, just a moment when he gave Violet some physical attention outside of working out. Violet arrives on time, and she shows Grant her notebook. However, she is neglected to add her trip to Yogurt Town and a night drinking with Faye. Grant adds it, playfully agreeing that yes, Violet is in trouble, but they've got work to do. They go for their 3-mile walk, but Grant has added a little bit of distance, and he sneakily adds in some slow jogging. It's not so bad for Violet, but Grant isn't done with her yet. He takes her to the back room again, and this time he has her give him a blowjob. He was a little worried that she might not be into it, but there was no need for concern. She is almost too eager. He gives her a bottle of water when she's done and tells her to fully track all of her food this time, including walking every day. And as for her punishment, she is not allowed to have another orgasm until he gives her permission. This is pretty standard BDSM fare and certainly a typical punishment. So he sends Violet home with this in mind, and she finds herself inexplicably happy to follow his instructions. By the time Sunday rolls around, she's feeling happier with herself. Her walks are doing her good, even if her body isn't up to snuff yet. I mean, the chapters keep track of how many days she's been at this, and it's only day 9. You've got time, kiddo. But she's certainly of the opinion that training with Grant was a good idea, and the sex was just a bonus. Deciding that she was just too frustrated, she texts Grant, telling him that, well, she's horny and he needs to fix it. There's some teasing back and forth, and I just can't get enough out of my head to stop screaming that they are not behaving in a professional manner. I get it, they've got an agreement, but it just squeaks me out a little bit that she's playing this guy for physical training and getting sex out of the bargain, and they're flirting like they've just hooked up, not started a professional partnership. This isn't helped when Grant sends a dick pic. Okay, the dick pic thing. She doesn't exactly ask for a picture, but they are discussing sexual matters when he sends it. In real life, people really shouldn't be so bold. The only time a nude photo should be sent is when either it is asked for or if the sender asks if their partner wants to see it, and only following through when they get a yes. Otherwise, keep it under wraps. Anyway. After she gets off the phone with Grant, she gets a call from Faye, who is screeching about a Backstreet Boys private concert. Violet is reluctant, since she has a session with Grant in the morning at 6, but Faye is insistent, and Violet gets ready to go with her. The next morning, we see Grant waiting at the gym. And waiting. And waiting. Oops. Violet wakes up the next morning, somewhat horrified that she slept in, and finds a voicemail from Grant. She calls him back in a rush, explains what happened, and he asks if she can meet him at the gym that night. She agrees, happy that he's not too angry. She arrives at the gym, finding both Grant and Armando in the middle of a very intense workout. Grant sits her down on a mat while he continues to work out, basically making her wait in silence. When he was done, he has her join him in the shower. Under the water, he presses his body to her, kisses her, then turns her around. It's right about here when a thought popped into my head. This book is horny. That's about the gist of it. Grant torments her further by literally just giving her the tip, then orders her to wait for him in the sauna. She obeys, but not before calling him Satan. She waits as instructed, but the moment he enters the sauna, she presents herself to him and demands an orgasm. He obliges, but still leaves her wanting more. After a while, he speaks to her as her trainer. He's noticed that when she slipped up on his fitness program, it's usually because of her friend Faye. He asks if she thinks that Faye might be an enabler, and Violet thinks on it. She says that Faye isn't an enabler, but it's hard to say no when she calls. Violet feels pressure to spend time with her, since their jobs are demanding and Faye is really her only friend. He tells Violet to put Faye out of her mind for a moment, and asks if there's something that she really wants to do for herself. Violet says that she'd like a new dress, maybe some new boots and makeup, so Grant gives her new homework. Go on a self-indulgent shopping trip, but don't take Faye. Violet is surprised at the suggestion, but also relieved to have just a moment to herself when she didn't have to use up any emotional labor on social interactions with Faye. There's a couple of moments when we see the two of them apart. Grant is having lunch with Armando, and they're talking about how serious Grant is starting to feel about Violet, how different she is from some of the submissives that he's dated. Meanwhile, Violet is hard at work in a new show, but it looks like her work will take her through the night, so she calls Grant asking to reschedule for the next morning. She teases Grant about maybe finally getting a good and proper sex session in, and they agree to meet the next night. Faye walks in right then, and when Violet tells her she was just on the phone with her trainer, she asks Violet if she thought that Grant might give them a discount if they trained together. Violet is already against this, and it looks like a moment where Violet can learn to establish some boundaries with Faye, but she flounders. Luckily, something comes up that takes them away from the conversation. She meets up with Grant again the next night as promised, and this time they walk a whole 5 miles. They have a lot of time to get to know one another, so there's some space for the romance to blossom. But again, this is a trainer-client relationship. The balance of power is still off as long as the money is exchanging hands. So while it's cute to see them acting like a new couple, there's still a transaction in between them. Grant had promised Violet that he'd take her somewhere special, and somewhere special was his apartment, right where they finished their walk. Smooth. He brings her inside, and she is enchanted by how well put together his place is. She gets a massive surprise when she finds some pop music memorabilia and discovers that Grant was once in a boy band called First Base. It's a little out of field, but I'll allow it. It starts a segue into his journey from boy band member to professional model to BDSM student, giving an insight into his personal wants and needs in the bedroom. Finally, he asks Violet if she is too tired to play. She is raring to go, so he introduces her to some new toys, cuffs, and a blindfold, adding a whole world of different sensations. When he slipped the black fabric over her eyes, Violet took a deep breath. Everything went dark and she strained to keep her bearings. There was nothing to hear, though, nothing to feel but Grant. His lips brushed against her ear. "Are you ready?" There was something witty she wanted to say, something defiant and smart, but she couldn't find the words. She just wanted Grant to touch her, so she nodded and said, "Yes." Grant basically makes up for all of the orgasm denial, giving her completion over and over and over again. Everything is heightened thanks to the blindfold, and finally, he gives her the thing that she's been begging for ever since they started the arrangement, the D. They wake up the next morning together, and Violet is pretty satisfied with how things have turned out. She gets a call from Faye asking her to come out for breakfast. Violet declines, and instead Faye bullies her into pizza and Netflix. After she hangs up, Grant asks her not to tell or talk to anyone about their current arrangement, because if we haven't deduced, this is not a great idea. Obviously, he doesn't want her telling people. So what's the first thing she does when Faye asks her why she couldn't join her for breakfast? Come clean about sleeping with her personal trainer, of course. Honestly, I hate this. He asked for one thing, and that was to keep this to themselves, and she runs off to the person who pressures her into bad choices and spills the beans. I have no idea why she thought that this would be okay, but she did it, and now I get to sit and wait for the consequences of her bad choices. I hate it. Faye does call Violet out, telling her that physical changes can be rather emotional, and it might not be a good idea to tie that transformation to a guy that she is paying to have sex with. I mean, she's not wrong. We know we aren't supposed to be on Faye's side here, but we're also supposed to be frustrated with her whenever she shows up. But Faye has a point. Still, I hate it. Violet does see where Faye is coming from, and maybe she decides to think things over. Absolute shame that Grant was working at that moment on talking to Violet about becoming a couple instead of being trainer and client. He was even going to refund her the money that she paid to the gym. He was that serious. Violet calls Grant, explains how the conversation with Faye went, and breaks up with him. Really, this feels contrived, and I'm not sure we needed an outside force to instigate the third act separation. I hate that the story made Faye a bigger problem than she needed to be. She could have simply kept in the role as someone who pushed boundaries while her heroine learned to enforce them, but she helped instigate this breakup. I think we could still have the breakup, honestly, with perhaps a different emotional approach, though. We could still have Grant talking to Violet about going steady and no longer as her trainer, but perhaps Violet was afraid at how fast things were going because, yes, this was almost at the speed of light. Or the full BDSM scenario was still strange and unknown territory for her. Maybe her reticence could mirror her original concern at the beginning of the novel. And when she's had time or perhaps had some other catalyst come along, they could get back together. Hell, maybe even Faye could have talked Violet into her senses. Again, Faye is not exactly wrong here. I have been saying almost exactly what she was saying, but it came at the heels of Grant asking Violet not to say anything about their arrangement. And as he was beginning to consider how to correctly transition them into a proper relationship, we could have had better. We catch up with Violet in the middle of a 3-day crisis, binging and crying and kicking herself for everything that's happened. She decides to talk to Faye, who apologizes for what she'd said, and even says she will help beg Grant to come back to Violet. After her attempts to call Grant had failed, she'd signed up for one of his boot camp classes, using a fake name and sneaking cash over to Armando, who I guess is down to get the two of them back together. Grant is pretty pissed when he sees Violet in the room, but he is nothing but professional during the class. Afterwards, Violet's body was screaming, but she knew that it was for a good cause. Grant agrees to talk to her, and since the gym was packed, they walked a couple of blocks away from the gym. Violet says her piece. She tells him that for once she felt like she was part of a healthy couple, that she felt comfortable meeting up with him in the mornings and taking care of herself. The things that Faye had said would have been correct for any other guy, but not for Grant. Grant was different. And right as she's really getting into it, she passes out. That class really did her a number. Grant calls someone to bring water and snacks and tells her that he's taking her to his place to sleep it off while he goes back to the gym and finishes up his workday. She doesn't argue, and he gets her settled in. When she wakes up and he gets back, he is none too pleased about the stunt she pulled, and she tells him that she really wants them to go steady. She knows she messed up, but she wants to try. He more or less forgives her and agrees to try as well. Our final chapter gives us a scene a few weeks later. She's out on production, and we learn how they've been going along with things together. They still work out, but her attentions have changed from weight loss to focusing on general health and wellness. That is the correct attitude, by the way. In general, they seem to be doing just fine, and if things keep going like this, it'll be happily ever after. And that was Fit. And boy, that was, it sure was something. For starters, it was very, very short. Like I mentioned at the beginning, it was the shortest we've read so far. I wouldn't have minded if it had a few extra thousand words, or even more than that. As it was, I felt that its length somewhat kneecapped its potential. But to really go in depth on it, let's start with Heather's final score. Our cover is pretty simple overall, and I'll give it a 3 out of 5. The lettering over the word fit had a weathered look to it, giving the novel an industrial feel. I'm not sure I got that impression from the novel itself, though. Rather, it was somewhat fluffy, all things considered. The cover could have gotten a 4, but the lack of beard to represent our clearly bearded hero brought our score down. Sorry, but that is how the cookie crumbles. Drama gets a 2 out of 5. There just weren't very high stakes here. And before you come at me saying that weight loss is indeed some high stakes, I mean that all our drama was personal, and could be solved in other ways that didn't include getting railed by a personal trainer. I know that weight loss can be a big deal to folks, trust me, I know. I fought with my weight nearly my whole life, and I can relate to Violet's perspective, but really, drama didn't land a high score for me. Romance is going to be a 3 out of 5. We did get enough interaction between our mains that I could see genuine connection and growth. But again, the length of the novel impeded a lot of showing, so parts of her story had to rely on some telling. And there is that whole thing about, you know, getting railed by a personal trainer. That was really a huge setback for me. This was supposed to be a working partnership, where money changed hands. Romantic attachment precluded by a monetary relationship is always a bad idea. At the very least, it was the guy being paid who offered the sexual relationship, so not horrible, but still. There's a power imbalance that is hard to reckon with. Now, for our spice level, I'm going to give it another 3 out of 5. I picked up this novel partly because of the BDSM aspect. I wanted spicier stuff, so that's why I bought it. So I already had an expectation on what to find, and I'm afraid I was disappointed. There wasn't so much BDSM as there was sex fantasy exploration. The BDSM elements were there, sure, but I wanted to see more. Again, if the novel had been longer, we could have explored more. I was really hoping we could see some creative use of workout equipment, but alas, no such luck. Finally, realism is getting a 2 out of 5. Now, originally, I thought this might be a 1, purely because the way this relationship begins is completely off the rails. No personal trainer with his salt would dream of broaching a sexual relationship during a client consultation, let alone offer possible BDSM dynamics. Oh, I am sure that there are sleazy men out there who prey on women trying to get their dicks wet, but those are not the type of trainers anyone should hire. I decided to give it 2, though, because Violet's frustrations resonated with me. I understood her, and I understood her motivations, even if they were a little corny at times. So really, I expected more from Fit, but sadly, I was left wanting. But that's not to say that I didn't have a good time reading it. I laughed at the sillier aspects of the novel and relished my exasperation when the characters made their questionable choices. I was hoping for something a little edgier, though, when I picked up a BDSM/workout erotic romance. But for what it is, I think Fit would be an interesting addition to the bookshelf. For my final score, Fit will get 3 former boy band body trainers out of 5. Thank you for joining me, readers and romance seekers, and I hope to see you once again for Hopelessly Romantic. If you like the show, please visit us at hopelesslyromanticpodcast.com. If you have questions or want to recommend a read, please email us at contact@hopelesslyromanticpodcast.com. The show is written and produced by me, Heather Songster. Our technical advisor is Kwang Yin Cho. Hopelessly Romantic is an H with K production. And it doesn't matter what you read, only that it's what you love.